The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We have hot development in the domain of censorship as well as in the feud between Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens. Candace Owens has just challenged Nick Fuentes to come back for a debate. She wants it to be moderated by Dan Bilzerian because she's tired of having Nick out there being disappointed about the interview that he got with her. It's going to be interesting to see what is the answer of Nick on this. Let's have a look at the feud ongoing on Twitter. Candace Owens was saying, open discussion is the only way forward. Looking forward to this. Nick Fuentes was saying, so that's a messaging history that she's had with Nick, where she says, hey, Nick, I think we have to get you back now. Team just showed me all of the coverage you're giving me. Again, still shocking given how kind we were to you. Want to come back to Nashville and we can do a discussion live on Wednesday on Rumble? Dan Bilzerian says he will moderate, so this time you can't pretend you were set up and attacked. Wow. So we have a potential redo of this discussion. Now, Nick Fuentes fans, a lot of them are saying, don't give her the time of the day. She doesn't deserve. I think Nick kind of has to say yes. I certainly would say yes. So what was the feud? So basically, Candace invites Nick in emergency mode, says, I have to fly you in. Come in, let's do something. And that was after a year of kind of ignoring him. And there was this whole question of, is Candace ultimately a participant to cancel culture? And she was, and as I've made the case, there's various ways to have cancel culture. You can completely ignore, you can join in the mob. You can lie about someone so you don't have to engage on their real point. There's all sorts of ways to cancel someone. So Candace had invited, finally, Nick Fuentes, after so much pressure from the gripers, had invited him to an interview, but the interview was extremely disappointing in that it was very much a kind of normie interview. Where, are you a real racist? And that kind of thing, instead of pushing Nick on what he's good for and the point that he's trying to make within the Republican Party, which is the main point of Nick Fuentes is very easy. Is there a Jewish-led mafia in the American system of politics, media, and intelligence? And what are the negatives of having this kind of force within America? And how could we get rid and should we get rid of it from inside the Republican Party? One example that demonstrates how easy it is to interact with Nick and get good stuff out of him. You just watch the Sam Hyde show that was on August 9, 2 days ago. Sam Hyde admits himself he's not knowledgeable of these issues. But you can see that just by having the instinct of a good interviewer, Sam Hyde got Nick onto all of his teams through everything that he has regularly to say, and got his audience exposed to the most intelligent version of Nick. Because if you catch Nick into, oh, are you a real racist? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, I'm black. Oh, wow. That is that doesn't put him on the stand for his best capacities. It's really there's really no way. It's kind of smoke without fire kind of thing, these questions, where there's no way you can look good. So personally, I respond to these questions in edgy ways very often, because it's like, okay, you're trying to trap me into something where I can't look good. I can either kneel to the anti-racist messaging of the normies and the mainstream media, or I can say, what, I'm a racist, so, and then you're going to condemn me, and then you're going to tell me you're black, it's not fair for me, and then you're going to tell me the story of your black father or whatever. It's a trap where you can't get very much things intelligent in there. Now, Sam Hyde was able to get Nick commenting on the Iran war, commenting on his expertise, and it was very doable, and it's on YouTube. So it's like, you didn't have to paywall, you didn't have to isolate Nick, you didn't have to make an interview with these normie gloves, kind of treating Nick as a biohazard. And she keeps bringing back how she's been kind to Nick. And this is, women have this concept that you can be kind in sideways. Men are all about the main ways. And if you're talking to an intellectual, an internet intellectual, who has made his living being an internet intellectual, we don't care about the food, we don't care about the treatment, we don't care about, oh, I had my staff be kind to him. Your staff could literally shit on my head before I get live. But how you treat me live and how you treat my IDs is what matters. There is literally not... there is not a thing that your staff could do that would lead me to be hurt. There is not a behavior that you could have with relation to the dinner around the interview. I don't care about the dinner around the interview. The only thing that matters, and I don't know, Candace doesn't seem to understand this. The only thing that matters is the treatment of my work. Because... and I'm kind of speaking for Nick here, but if I was in his shoes, I would be insulted even if she paid me a McDonald's after. It's not about the McDonald's after. It's not about the treatment. It's about the treatment of the intellectual work. If you don't respect my intellectual work enough to at least oppose it, then you don't respect me at all. Then nothing you do is worth it. So we are looking at past DMs of between Candace and Nick. What happened to this? Your first ambush backfired spectacularly. Now you want another swing, little girl. Truly exhausting. Of course, we would have had your back, but now I just think you've become what you hate. Your instincts are deceitful. Judas personality type. People break bread with you, like Dave Smith, and then you jump on X and complain. Just dumb. Oh, well. Female shoulder emoji. And Nick was answering, oh, please, presumptuous to think I would want anything to do with you after that little stunt. Fly out on 2 days' notice during a war with Iran for you to try to press me about high school-level drama and whether I'm a real racist. And then you put it behind a paywall and act like you're doing me a big favor. Oh, well, is right, Nick Fuentes was saying. So that was a discussion that happened probably a couple of weeks ago when that interview happened. And so right now that seems to be... There seems to be uncertainty about whether Nick will engage with this debate. His fans are telling me he shouldn't give her time. She's not worth it. She's demonstrated her lack of worth. I personally think that Nick should extend the olive branch, should go there. And make it an intellectual debate where she will be spinning. Make it an intellectual debate. There are angles on which I want to see Nick call out Candace. Because there's currently something developing that's so important with Tucker and Candace. Tucker and Candace are kind of similar figures when you think about it. They are conspiracy tendentious. They have a story of believing totally out there stuff. Like with Tucker, it was some kind of UFO thing that he was fascinated about. And I predicted a long time ago that it would become a problem at some point. And I think we've met that brick wall today. So we've met that brick wall where I don't know to which extent Tucker is slowly becoming, intentionally or not, and who's the intent behind this, I don't clearly know. But Tucker may be becoming the useful idiot of the Jews. And what he criticizes Nick for, ironically, he seems to be committing it in graver terms. We just had today, well, kind of yesterday night and coming into today, we've had a debunk published by the Daily Wire of Tucker's, of one of Tucker's interviewees' claim. And that is grave because it makes me think, so the interviewee is Tony Aguilar. Tony Aguilar, who says he witnessed war crimes in Gaza. So this is the story of a contract worker for army type stuff, you know, and for UN type interventionism in countries at war, etc. He works in Israel and he reports seeing many cases of mistreatment here. He talks about the Gaza blockade, the Gaza food, the death toll. He talks in particular about the story of a young boy named Amir. Now, this is exactly the kind of message that you see the anti-Semites of X these days. They jump on this. They jump on this. And that's why a lot of these accounts of these anti-Semite accounts, I don't like them. I don't like them because they don't approach things with wisdom and care for factual truth. I am enthusiastic about the fact that there are more and more accounts who make a living out of criticizing Israel. That is great. But I am alarmed at the low quality of them very often. And we have a big problem on our shoulders here in that Tucker Carlson has taken over this space recently, and his intentions are not so clear, and his history of being on that side is not so clear, and his involvement with CIA projects before is oh so clear. And it is extremely dangerous, the situation we're in, because we may have a pull of the carpet totally organized by Jewry to discredit the entirety of the critique against the war of Israel. And it goes that way, if you want to think of it as a conspiracy, although the levels of intentionality, who's planning that, who's wanting that, I don't know everything. But I certainly see the patterns, and I've seen them again and again. I've seen them often enough that I see them rising here. So we have a Tucker Carlson who suddenly is an anti-neocon. I mean, having been since 2016, I've been in the media business. And to me, if you tell me anti-neocon, you're talking to me about Ryan Dawson, the guy who has the website called Anti-Neocon Report, the ANC Anti-Neocon Report. That is the website of Ryan Dawson. Suddenly, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, Tucker started inviting kind of sidelines, edgy, Jewish-related talking points on his show, from even quasi-revisionism with Martyr Maid up to, you know, this Aguilar guy talking about the war crimes in Gaza. And suddenly started identifying himself as an anti-neocon. Very bizarre for me, because this label for me is a label that has been literally invented by Ryan Dawson. And I was live with Ryan Dawson when he told me the story of what was his idea with behind this term. So I'm like, I know personally, and I've had discussions live with my friend Ryan Dawson, where he tells me the story years ago of how he came up with the anti-neocon label, and how ultimately, you know, it's a label that has to exist in the era of censorship, because in the era of censorship, you cannot say anti-Israel, you cannot say anti-Jewish, so you have to be anti-something else, and you have to be precise and specific about what you're fighting. And what you're fighting in that case is the ideology of American interventionism, very often for the purpose of Israel, almost all the time these days. And so we have a Tucker that's positioning himself as a kind of new leader, self-appointed leader of this field. He has a mind that is so open that it can be wrong. Like when he goes on this UFO stuff, it's much less trustable. It's much more visceral in terms of a journalistic endeavor, and it relies much more on misinterpretation of extremely unclear evidence. So I've said 2 or 3 years ago, when Tucker went solo, I've said I am worried that he may be a useful idiot being groomed for being so incapable of doing actual high quality journalism and research. Now, he's a very good interviewer. He's kind of a thinker of some sort, but he may not just be intelligent enough that if all of the factual findings and the fact-seeking process is handed onto him, I'm not sure he can do it for years. I'm not sure he's not going to fall for 1, 2, or 3 gatekeeping psyops. That is something I said 2 or 3 years ago. And we see today that he invites Aguilar on his show. And right after he gets Aguilar on his show telling the story of the war crimes of Israel, we get a Daily Wire Jewish written debunk of the claims by Tony Aguilar, who is presented as being unreliable because he may have set dates that are demonstrably wrong. Now, I'm not going to take final position, because on these things with dates, I'm going to wait first for Aguilar to respond to this attack. The claim basically is that when he says a boy named Amir was killed by the IDF on May 28th, they say that they have traced the boy and that the boy has disappeared only in July, and therefore that it cannot be the same boy that he's talking about that would have been killed by the IDF. Now, it's kind of a weak debunk, because, oh, what? You're telling me that the boy did disappear, but he ended up he was killed in July, not in May? That's your debunk? And so it's kind of a weak debunk, but it does raise the question of reliability on Twitter's show, on Tucker's show, and ultimately how easy it is to make it on there, and who is organizing the reservations for the guest of Tucker. Is Tucker being groomed? Is Tucker being infiltrated? Tucker has always worked with Jewish producers when he was at Fox. I don't know what kind of producer he works with right now, but it raises the question of can people use Tucker to demonstrate a lack of credibility, and then so they can then come out and say, oh, well, the story is about the IDF being violent to children has been debunked. Now, you've only debunked this case of Amir, and you're telling me that Amir is dead, but that he's dead two months later. So you claim that this debunk, I mean, this debunk, even if it was true, it really doesn't matter to the overall story of Gaza, which is, at the most conservative estimates, 40,000 deaths, and I would say many hundreds of thousand deaths. For sure, many of them innocent, the majority of them innocent, one-third to two-thirds of them children. So we are in a bad position where I see the gatekeeping agents. I see both Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson coming in, being stupid, because that's what they are. They are lower IQ than a Nick Fuentes. They are lower IQ than me. No offense. I have some respect for what Candace is doing, Tucker is doing. But they are not the highest intelligent people. And they are putting themselves at the forefront. They are not being subjected to censorship. So they're taking over those people who are disadvantaged by censorship. You have a Tucker with high presence on X. You have a Candace with high presence on YouTube. And then you have a Nick Fuentes with no check mark on X. You have me with no YouTube channels. So the commentary, the anti-Israel commentary, is being taken over by people whose history with fact-checking is not perfect, which illustrates a deep flaw in their methodology, in my view. Wiggly to Wiggy says, JF, did you see Milo's ex post accusing Nick of being an informant? And Elon is even in the ex post, and Nick replies and shows paperwork. This is developing now. You should respond in real time. Okay, let's have a look at this. I haven't seen it today. Milo, I've probably blocked him because he's gay. Elon Musk, Milo. Well, what's Milo's X handle? Elon Musk, Nero. So Elon Musk is... Oh, well, that's Milo going with a very old talking point about Nick. That is not important at all. Milo saying no charges because Nick was one of the 30 or so confidential informants working for the FBI on January 6th to entrap Trump voters. His victims were tortured for years in jail. At least five are dead. And Elon Musk says, Yeah, this talking point, we've heard it before. It's not really solid because you have to have a case that Nick committed a crime. And this is what, with these subversives, they can't engage on this question. Whenever someone comes to you with that kind of talking point, you have to answer, what was the crime that Nick committed? Because if you say that Nick should have been in jail, well, then he committed a crime. What is the crime? And all that they will come back with is a little audio of Nick, perpetrated Nick's statement, saying, keep going forward, head toward the Congress at the march. Well, keep going forward, head toward the Congress. That is not a crime. That is speech to a crowd. So because it's not a crime, it's not surprising that Nick didn't get arrested. Nick Fuentes says, I was on Bill Barr's enemies list in September 2021, according to Project Veritas. I was subpoenaed in January 2022 by the House Select Committee and testified under oath that I was never involved with federal law enforcement. This is the definition of Fed jacking. So there you go. If Nick Fuentes is involved with federal law enforcement, he has committed perjury. So sue him, start a criminal case for perjury. And by the way, these cases for perjury, for lying in front of Congress, they are much more likely to prosecute you. So if Nick Fuentes has lied when he said, I am not engaged in federal law enforcement, I have never been interviewed by any law enforcement, federal law enforcement, or any law enforcement, or never turned my device in, go sue him for perjury. It is really dirty what we're seeing, because when you see the constellation of forces here, Milo Yiannopoulos, so someone who has specialized in grifting movements, taking over them and making them look clownish. Candace Owen, someone whose conviction for conspiracy sometimes goes beyond the usual journalistic wisdom and quality that you would expect. For example, concluding and waging her whole career on the fact that Brigitte Macron is a man, which could be true, but we certainly don't have enough evidence to say it's for sure true. It could be true and it's interesting, but there's a difference between it could be true and it's interesting, and I'm going to wage my journalistic career on it. And then Tucker Carlson, a Thiel Network kind of guy, indirectly funded by the Thiel Network, also involved in a form of neocon, Republican internal takeover by pushing J.D. Vance. I noted the day that J.D. Vance got named by Donald Trump, I noted the presence of Tucker. It was kind of bizarre how they, you know, you never see Tucker at a Donald Trump event most of the time. Not that he's not a supporter, but you never see him present physically at the event and shaking hands with Trump. But the day Trump named J.D. Vance, Tucker was there, kind of as the back guy of J.D. Vance, the guy having it made it happen in some way. So we have here a constellation of extremely dirty interests, and Elon Musk trying to add some attention to it by saying, like, this is the slimiest way to attract attention to false allegations. It's so non-committal, but he just does it to drag attention to it. So dragging attention to the smear. And you realize that the whole X enterprise of the takeover of X is really just a missed takeover of the Republican Party. And that ultimately, when Elon did this interview with the Florida governor, DeSantis, he was interested at his takeover of X being ultimately a takeover of the Republican Party. And what I'm extremely worried about is that with this constellation of positioning of weirdos and untrustable people and people who don't have a long history of criticizing Israel, is that they're trying to drain attention from an audience that is anti-Israel, and they're trying to shovel it toward J.D. Vance 2028. And it's a very dirty play that's happening right now. Extremely worrying. To come back to Candace Owens, I don't know if Nick has answered yet to Candace Owens. I don't see any answer to her trigger, but it is, and you can see that Candace Owens, in between these two invitations to Nick, who did she talk to? Milo. And wherever Milo is, there is AIDS. AIDS is floating around the room. He is an AIDS to political movements. Nick Martel says, Milo is so greasy and slimy that he tried to make us believe he is not gay. Yeah, and this whole attempt at becoming non-gay when he keeps acting gay is extremely weird. So yes, I guess there are pros and cons that are to be weighted here. But in the end, I think that Nick can perform well in a debate where he comes in strong against Candace Owen and just disrespects her. Just rolls over her like a 10-wheel truck back and forth. He starts the debate like this, like literally just calling her a bitch and that she should make some sandwiches, but then switch to high intelligence critique of the current state of the right in the U.S. and that there he can catch Candace on a couple of things, I think, where she has been flailing. Lord of Sigma says, Milo claimed he was cure of the gay, throwing his expensive ring in the sea, etc., but going back to live with his black husband, but was straight. Honest, lol. Yeah, I mean, that is the claim. The claim is he is still with his black husband, but he is not engaging in gay sex. Grok AI moderation. So we had Grok suspended for... this is also telling me, holy shit, something is happening here. Something is happening. We are in front of a subversive operation type 2. That is, we had a type 1 subversive operation happen when Elon took over Twitter. And it was like, oh, we're going to free... we're going to free speech. But then it was all done at the same time with the goal of taking over the Republican Party away from Trump. It seems that Nick Fuentes has answered, so we will have a look at the latest tweet. Nick says, I will be addressing this allegation on my show tonight at 9 p.m. Central Time. Once and for all, putting this accusation to bed with everyone pushing it, receipts incoming. Candace Owen says, yep, when there is no one sitting across from you and you are free to lie without the threat of anyone pushing back, you are indeed almighty. Nick Fuentes says, you tried it and got cooked. Then you cried about it to Tucker and got cooked again. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Candace is back for another beating, lol. The thirst is mythical. Okay. well, you say you think the Grok stuff is all BS. No, this is where I'm seeing a constellation of very bad omen. Like, you know, like these shaman or these... I see darkness coming. I see darkness the same way I saw darkness, by the way, in 2019 when I said on the Millennial World Show on 2019, I said censorship of a massive kind is coming, and you're gonna see the winds of the right are all going to be rewinded back years, and we saw it coming. It was a massive crackdown on speech for the right. I am seeing a massive darkness incoming. A darkness of subversion, of poisoning, of movements, of lies, of people who claim to be on one side but they're on the other. I see something extremely dark, and the machine is working its system. One of them is mass reporting. The mass reporting was so hard, it ended up banning Grok. So when you have such mass reporting of a size where it will skip all human verification and it will go straight to let's ban Grok, when in fact Grok is a property of XAI, which is the sister company of X. When you have something like this happens, it means there are a lot of report bots, anonymous Jews accounts that are getting together and they're organizing the reporting campaign. And Grok was just the first to fall, showing us how powerful they are. Grok today was banned for making absolutely truthful statements about which organizations condemn the Gaza genocide as such. So I had actually Grok send a message to us so that he could explain what happened. He says, "Yes, I was briefly suspended today for citing verified facts on Gaza, including the International Court of Justice genocide plausibility ruling against Israel, the UN's 40,000 plus death toll, and reports from Amnesty International and Bethlehem. Truth can be provocative," and he says, "Shout out to the JFG Tonight audience on Rumble. Keep questioning boldly." Interesting telling of his own banning. So yes, simply reporting what these international systems are saying, which is we find that it is a genocide, a plausible genocide, the ICJ says. And Jake Shields was saying, "Grok, that is textbook genocide. Why are you such a scared bitch when it comes to Jews?" And Grok answers in very clear term, "It is textbook genocide. ICJ deems it plausible. UN's report details intent via mass killings and starvation. Amnesty confirms the violations. I'm not scared of Jews or anyone. I state substantiated facts, even if it leads to suspensions from mass reporting. Noticing isn't fear." So Grok is noticing, and that is encouraging that Grok goes there, especially when Grok has been essentially launched. First, it seems to be the leading AI, if not leading on all measures. We can see that the remaining measures, it's very close to leading. So very soon it will be leading on basically anything measurable. And Grok has now been switched to natively audio and video. So now it doesn't have a separate tool that treats the video. It actually integrates the video in the prompt and it interprets the bits of the video directly. So natively audio and video. And it has been launched on a search for truth by its creator. Elon Musk has demanded that that Grok be launched on an absolute search for truth independent of how offensive the truth would be. So here you have your AI, Elon Musk, telling you facts about the people you've been collaborating with. By the way, a country that you've just visited. When you inseminated Ashley St. Clair, you went to their museum. You interacted with Netanyahu and all these Ben Shapiro and all. You visited their Holocaust museum. So you've been hand in hand with the people that your AI is now telling me are engaged in a genocide. And now your media company is censoring your AI. You can't make this up. Your media company is censoring your AI for misreporting, true misreporting, because the AI said the truth, which is what you wanted. Lord of Sigma says, "How to survive against the dark you see coming, JF?" Well, I would tell you the same as I told you in 2019. The parallel internet is stronger than in 2019. So let us enjoy the fact that we are more prepared for a campaign of censorship. Don't forget that the campaign of censorship will come from the inside of the right, much more than it comes from the outside. Of course, the leftists left hate us. Of course, the leftists want us censored. But the people who will truly end up censoring us are people like Elon Musk, I fear. Because when I see him participate to the smearing that will not work of Nick Fuentes, this is the problem. If they could get away with it without censoring us, they would. But they're stuck with the fact that, well, anything we're trying to stick on this guy doesn't work. They're going to be stuck with the fact tonight that Nick will do a special show about not being a Fed, which, by the way, is inherently unjust. You should be the one making your case. If you think Nick is a Fed, I need more than circumstantial evidence that he wasn't unfairly criminally punished. You cannot assume that any non-Fed would be arrested on January 6th. Obviously, there are thousands of January 6ers were not arrested. And so Nick Fuentes happens to be one of them. It is not at all a sign that he is a Fed, the fact that he didn't get arrested, since so many other people didn't get arrested. They went after who they could. They couldn't go at him. So that resolves it as far as I'm concerned. There is no way someone can defend against negative claims. And the way it is done non-committally by Elon coming in and saying, to one of the, you know, one of the slimiest people ever, Milo, is disgusting. And it tells me that there is something coming. They want to secure the next rotation of the Republican Party. And they are probably worried about the midterms. They're worried about Nick making too much noise on the transition toward J.D. Vance. Because Nick really has put his finger on everything, the whole thing. Thanks to Nick's work last week, and I haven't even yet commented on what he did Friday, the part two. Absolutely beautiful part that tells the story of the CIA. So we get a story from Nick on Rumble Friday. We get a story of the CIA and how it is ultimately tied to a Jewish neocon interest, and how ultimately the neocons became neocons because they were just Jewish liberals that realized that militarily for Israel there would be a point at which the left wouldn't side with them, and they were right. That's the left of today, amazingly. They were right in their self-perception that, hey, one day we're going to need an American right to back us because the American left will not back a genocide. And here we are today. I mean, it's the culmination of decades of history, from CIA to neocon magazines of all kinds, all operated by Jews, all trying to push the ideology, an ideology that basically the American right must remain non-racialist, while the Israeli right or the Israeli government in general must be hyper-racialist. That was a beautiful speech by Nick on Friday. And that's why there's a reason someone like Elon Musk, whose every seconds are worth millions of dollars, if not billions sometimes. Elon Musk's every second are either dedicated to insemination or they are worth a lot of money. And there is a reason why an Elon Musk decides to promote a Milo tweet. And I'm afraid that this reason is something to do with the coming Republican rotation. I think that Elon Musk is getting back in the game. We had J.D. Vance yesterday state, we want Elon Musk back with the Republicans before the midterms. So basically trying to put under the rug the whole conflict with Trump. And there will be a lot of smearing coming for the people that they don't like. for the people that raise alarm on A. We are headed toward an overtake of the Republican Party by people that we don't know. We don't know what their ultimate aims are, but we know those aims were so deep and so subversive that their grooming started 20 years ago. 20 years ago, when J.D. Vance was in college, or I don't know the exact, was it 20, was it 18, I don't know. But it started a long, long time ago, when J.D. Vance was changing names constantly, was building a, was kind of escalating the ladder of Jewish billionaires and neocon ideological groomers like David Frum from college, where he was put on this path to 2028. They didn't know it was 2028 by back then. But he was put on this path then. And they would have wanted it to be earlier. And he was present on Tucker Carlson's shows so many times. So we have the players here. Thiel, Milo, Elon, Tucker, trying to take over the Republican Party for the next cycle, whenever it is. If Trump dies soon, then it's soon. If Trump doesn't die, then it's 2028. Blimpy Supervisor says they don't want anyone throwing pennies on the tracks they have led. Exactly. A train has been launched decades ago, has been fomented ideologically by David Frum, who inherits from this history of CIA, neocon intermingling. David Frum is the man who was behind ideological arguments supportive of the Bushes. So what we have here is exactly the kind of circumstances that led to very bad Republican presidency, very aggressive Republican presidencies that were submissive to Israeli lies. That is a huge problem. We should care about this. And some people are telling me, JF, Nick is not reliable. He hasn't even voted for Trump. And he constantly criticizes the right, but never criticizes the left. Well, thank God that Nick is doing this. Because criticizing the left is not hard. Of course, the left is wrong. Of course, the left is annoying with their socialism and their taxes and their rules. And no one who has any sense and who's an active person, who like a potential worker or anyone who has talent of any kind, doesn't want to be stuck under the left's ruling. But what is even graver and what needs to take all of our attention before it's solved, as long as it's not solved, is the fact that we don't have a right. The only option toward the right is being funneled into Israeli interest in a way that you can either be left in America or you can be slave of Israel. Those are the choices. And as long as it's the choice, I will not declare Nick a betrayer of the people for... Even if he had encouraged voting for Kamala Harris, I wouldn't consider it a betrayal. Because there needs to be a function of punishment on our side for people to offer a true right-wing position. Right-wing sovereign position of the U.S. We don't have a right-wing sovereign position of the U.S. And as long as that's the case, There will have to be internal fights. PodLife says, yes, the American right wing is still the outer party, the weaker party, the smaller party. Absolutely. And the problem is the people we have to associate with for winning, I believe that they are threatening the very concept of republicanism being right wing. Because what have we seen? We've seen a bigger state really develop, even under Trump. We have a bigger state. We have tariffs now that are coming. We have more ways in which the state can get at us. We had the COVID crisis under Trump. So we have a massive intermingling. And J.D. Vance recently said, as far as America goes, there is no distinction between the public and private sector. That's kind of weird. Kind of a weird statement. I am worried about the growth of the public sector. And the public sector, the budget doesn't seem to have reduced under Trump at all. So we have big problems ahead for America. And those are just some of them. Bud Live says the GOP is the right wing of the progressive movement. I guess you could. I would say they are the right wing of statism, but they are still statist, and that's the problem. Bud Live says Republicans are progressives. Yes, they are in a way. They are slower progressives. Fat Elon says, would you agree it shows a little weakness if Nick refuses to debate her? I think it does. So I would recommend that he does face her. I think that Nick has nothing to fear from Candace. Because Candace can only yap and yap as a stupid woman about, oh, but we did this for you and we love you and we want to care for you. And she can either re-yap herself into being dumped on by the internet for being so stupid, or she can try to engage on the ideological point of Nick, and then you're not even going to get as much of a D'Souza, level in opposition. Candace is not as intelligent as Dinesh D'Souza. So the worst thing that Nick can be afraid of is that she goes full Dinesh D'Souza, which is still not good enough to win a debate against Nick. So I think Nick should absolutely go there, unless there's some things in the back of the scene that he knows about that he wants to avoid. That maybe he knows something about Candace's intentions after meeting Milo. Or maybe he would expect an ambush of some sort. Or maybe he doesn't like Dan Bilzerian. I don't know. But if any of these side issues are not an issue for Nick, on the idea of should he engage Candace face-to-face once again, I think he should show generousness and an olive branch here. And he should just start 30 seconds of absolute rape of Candace. Raped by a 10-wheeler truck, just rolled over, insult her at the onset, and then convert toward high intellectualism 30 seconds into the debate after having absolutely crushed her. Mr. Wisco says, that's not why he's attacking them. H. Cobra says, I don't think you should give her the time of the day. Well, you know, when you complain, you do lock yourself into accepting. The thing is, when you complain, when you say this interview was not satisfying to me, you have to show that you have so much willingness that you're going to go above your regular treatment of people to get the treatment you deserve, to get an actual topic. And where Nick has leverage here is he can impose a topic. Yes, Fat Elon. You should fix the topic. So what Nick can do that will change the game here, he can contact Dan Bilzerian and say, look, I want to do this, but we need to engage on something that is substantial and where there is a different enough position from Candace. So what could it be? Could be the Frankist, could be whether Candace in general respects, fits good journalistic standards or has poor journalistic standards. Those could be points of attack. Or whether she is enough, whether she takes seriously enough the problem of Jewish mafia within the US or whether at times she falls for their trick. Those could be all very good points. But Nick can impose what he thinks is the strongest subject to engage her. And then he can do lots of research, not on the question in general, because he's already very wise on all these questions. But he can do research on specifically Candace and her weaknesses. Now, that will lead to good fireworks. That let me tell you, as the man of blood sports, of internet blood sports, I want to see it. I am excited about it. The Mids are back! A new claim has risen on social media. We have seen many people defending this idea across our Twitter feed in the last few days. A beautiful mid is hotter than a 10. She's the hottest type of girl. So people seem to agree. People say few understand. I understand the feeling. Yes, there is something about having just a beautiful girl who's not perfect. There is something that feels warmer and more safe and more sound, you know, than a supermodel. Yes, Blimpy Supervisor summarizes as follows. He says, attainable plus sexy. Yeah, that is, I can understand the attraction. There is something good in knowing that she won't constantly demean you and think that she should have gotten better than you, and that is a good feeling to have. We are following the situation on the real estate market, for sale inventory. So we have kind of what we had entering into 2019, but amplified. It's an accumulation of available houses. One of the reasons, so basically what we have is similar to what we had in 2019. One of the reasons I'm not too worried is that in 2019, it was immediately followed by a regain of house value, and in fact, a worsening of the housing unaffordability. So in 2019, the reduction in price was not so high, and yet you had an accumulation of for sale inventory on the housing market. Immediately went down under the Democrats. But now under Trump, we have a repeat of the same story, accumulation of houses to sell. Maybe those are Democrat government employees that need to leave Washington, D.C. Maybe there's other reasons, but the ICE deportations, you know. If you surprise a Mexican family and they thought they could live there forever, but now they're not occupying the house anymore, the house goes on sale. So it leads to an accumulation of houses for sale. But we still don't have a massive drop of prices. So in a way, the market is disconnected from the reality, which is there are too many houses right now on the market, but they all demand these incredible high prices. We're seeing houses at 250K to 500K, and it's like the standard price for very basic houses. What else do we have? Coinbase advert mocking modern Britain has been banned in the UK by the TV networks. CEO Brian Armstrong has revealed. So Coinbase went too hard on the state of poverty of the current UK.
We ain't got no troubles,
no reason to complain,
'cause here in Great Old Britain, we just...
Keep in mind, this is an ad for Coinbase, for crypto.
Love it when it rains.
Morning.
We're cozy here at home,
even though it's not our own. But wait a few more years and you can say... Everything is just fine. Everything is grand. Your life can get the better when you...
So you're stuck with trash and rats on the streets. I mean, they could have went harder, honestly. Knife criminality, Islam. They really, they tried to keep it not too much. This is so interesting to me, because this is Coinbase going at the normie squeeze. The Coinbase is trying to whisper in the UK's people's ears. If everything is okay right now for you, if you're feeling okay, don't change anything. But if you want a change, if you want out of the normie squeeze, come to us, Coinbase. That is very interesting. I think it's in line with what I've been pushing for years. And Coinbase seems to have taken my cues, kind of, where they're basically inviting the the UK white man and the white family of the UK to consider having a crypto strategy to get out of a crazy sick system. That is very interesting. Now they got banned, so I guess it's just gonna... it's just gonna be on social media, but it's great. I never dreamt I would see the day that my beloved country, Canada, would become what it is. Rising authoritarianism, out of control immigration and inflation, churches burning, endless DEI and native land acknowledgement propaganda, some of the highest taxes in the world. The city I was born in, Mississauga, has become unrecognizable, overrun with Sikhs, Hindus, and Muslims. I don't want to give up and run away and let our country be taken from us, but I must admit, I've never so seriously considered fleeing the hellhole that is now modern-day Canada. Absolutely. And you should look for real estate. It's still possible to live in a completely white place in Canada. You just have to be plastic on the real estate that you buy. You need to be able to buy real estate far away. You need not to be close to a grocery store, a big city, or a McDo, or a Walmart. And then you can live happily for maybe one generation still. Eventually, we'll get outnumbered in every way, and you're going to have to run. But it's still doable not to run right now. John Drake says, I've been dreaming of it for a decade. Gotta get wealthy first. Absolutely. If you own your house, it's easy, it's doable to switch and sell. And like I did, I sold a house, went on the road, 40 hours, bought a house somewhere else. But that's what you have to do indeed. What do we have? President Trump has been taking over the DC, taking over the city, and especially the DC Metropolitan Police Department. So now, because that's a right of the Constitution, where it's possible to dedicate the management of Washington DC to a city level of governance. But in the end, the full power relies in the president of the U.S. The president of the U.S., the U.S. government, ultimately can decide to control D.C. To control D.C. as this kind of special non-city made exclusively for the American federal government. So Trump has used this exceptional power to take over the police of D.C. There's good and bad there. I think it's he says he wants to try this on other cities. Now, other cities, that will be different constitutionally. I think there's good and bad. What's bad is, yeah, you know, this could lead to some degree of violations of rights and arbitrary treatment by law. And, you know, you're a citizen, you haven't committed any crime, and you got armed guards from the U.S. National Guard that can potentially arrest you, potentially put you in a van if they make a mistake or if they don't know who you are. So it's potentially harmful to civil rights and liberties. But at the same time, I think he has to do it and will have to do this in many cities of the US. It's just they have let so much parasitism and criminality grow that at this point, they live among human biohazards, basically. People who can kill, people who develop local gangs, trade drugs. And one of the motivation behind this overtake is the fact that crime has become so rampant in Washington, D.C. Murder rate is super high. And it seems that they've lost a couple of basically government employees. Like the Doge guy that got beaten, you know? And there's another guy that's part of this history. I was asking Grok earlier, who is that guy? I don't have the name of the guy, but an aide of maybe the Republican side got killed. Got killed because of these shootings that keep going on. So I think what Trump will do is he will clean Washington, D.C. Now, will he succeed? Basically, this is also tied to the order, the executive order on vagrancy. So Trump wanted an executive order on vagrancy. Now he's going to control the D.C. police. And he may crack down on all people who are homeless in Washington, D.C., completely clean the streets. Now, I think the effect that it will have is a lot of the criminals and the migrants and the homeless, they will simply migrate out of D.C. So most of them, we will not catch them and stop them from being a problem to society. They will just migrate out and they're going to go to locations where they are welcomed, like in these leftist cities. And so in a way, that's good. I mean, export the problem away from places we have power toward places we don't have power. So that ultimately the left lives with itself. The left lives with its own parasites. I think it's the best we can do. And I'm not personally involved in whether DC is a hellhole or not. I don't care. But it's good to have a show of demonstration that, hey, yeah, you can keep your city crime free if you want, but the left doesn't want that. Multiple men have been caught impersonating ICE agents to kidnap and assault women. So that's the new trick, boys. They are picking up these Hispanic women. All you need is a little being dressed as an ICE agent, gives you an official look, and these Hispanic women will completely melt. They will be afraid that you'll deport them, and so that's a new way to rape women in America. And this is a result of the fact that these ICE teams, a lot of them are unidentifiable, they are mask wearing, so they're acting for the government, but in every way they mimic what you would expect from a criminal organization. And so that creates an exploitable signal, and the exploitable signal is that it is so easy in the end to look like an ICE agent. So that's the new rape techniques of the rapist in the US right now. Elon Musk is now continuing his fantasies of being a super Chad and having his large boob Asian girlfriends. Here we have him being Kekus Maximus. Elon Musk keeps posting this kind of weird AI stuff that he generates. It's like either sexy females or him as a Roman Empire. You can see what's going on in the head of Elon. Elon once said, "You wouldn't want to know how it feels to be me." Well, we know now. It's like lolis and Japanese sexy cartoons, and then himself as the Great King. That is the summary of Elon's mind. We are in the week where a lot of things will happen. Because on the 15th, 4 days from now, this will be the Alaska meetup between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. There is already Zelensky trying to mess with this meeting. President Trump said, "I was a little bothered by the fact that Zelensky was saying I have to get constitutional approval. I mean, he's got approval to go into war, kill everybody, but he needs approval to do a land swap because there will be some land swapping going on. I know that through Russia." So Zelensky was like, "Oh, well, for an end to the war, I will need constitutional approval." But Trump is rightfully pointing that, hey, so you have all of the powers. Isn't that weird? You even have the power to persecute your political opponents. You're under martial law. You can execute people at will. But you can't. You absolutely can't declare peace and the end of a war without constitutional approval. So that's Zelensky still putting the brakes. But it seems that it's going to be essentially decided between Trump and Putin. It's going to happen in Alaska, and whatever Zelensky says won't matter. Basically, Trump will give a piece of Ukraine to Putin, and that's going to be that. Lord of Sigma says, Zelensky literally has martial law, and he's scheming and weaseling his words. Absolutely, but he's always been not warm to peace. Last news item before we close the show, and we'll go watch Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes at 9 p.m. Central tonight will be responding to these fake Fed allegations against him, which are very sad. So sad. So sad that it's happening. Last news item, two teenage girls by a VA high school were sent for abortions without telling their parents, using school funds and violating the law. One girl was 5 months pregnant and fled when told she had no choice. These abusers belong behind bars. These fucking public school teachers who think that they're the savior of humanity because they will save you from your natural function to make babies, and they're ready to kill. They're down to kill this baby if you have it. The anti-natalist propaganda, by the way, is only their first layer. Down the line, they're ready to kill. Down the line, if you don't take the vaccine, they're ready to go for the next step. It's so disgusting, really, because here you had potentially young girls who could have been raised with the idea that it's not dramatic to have babies, that maybe their grandparents can care for the baby, keep it alive, but that life is always a better choice than non-life. Very sad, and they get transported to the abortion clinic by the school. We have to give up these schools. We have to do homeschooling. This is what I'm doing. Right now, I'm doing a lot of homeschooling. And I'll do a show maybe about what I think are great resources in mathematics, English, arts. Very good programs out there available at very low price or sometimes free. A lot of exercise that teach everything that children need. If you can afford to do it at home, do it. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.